It's 11 o'clock on Grant and Danny. Thanks to Pete for the update. What's up and welcome back. 106.7 The Fan, our second hour is underway. Our Redskins beat reporter Craig Hoffman was in Dallas for a Redskins-Cowboys fiasco that none of us really saw coming. Craig, I was having this debate on Fox yesterday morning. I want to get your thoughts. Blame to go around, offense, defense, special teams from that Dallas game. Now, offensively, they turned the ball over early a bunch. Defensively, they couldn't stop the run, even without Ezekiel Elliott at all, when the Cowboys were one-dimensional. And on special teams, they did nothing productive and gave up a punt return for a touchdown and turned the ball over. Which phase of the game hurt the Redskins the most in the loss?
Ooh, that's tough. I think special teams, because I feel like the biggest dagger was the fumbled punt. Everything was going great until that. You know, they had a good drive that ends in the unfortunate interception, which you put on Crowder. So, like, Jamison Crowder was his own unit. As much as we all love Jamison and think he's a very good player, like, Jamison Crowder's one and two there. Special teams, then offense, because they should have had a touchdown on that drive. He drops it. It turns into an interception. And then you have the fumble on the punt, and the defense had gone four straight three and outs, and all of a sudden you flip the field, you kill all the momentum, you've given them hope in life. So I think special teams has to get it, but it's close because it all obviously contributed. When you lose like that, there's plenty to go around.
Craig, they're not mathematically eliminated. So I know they're going to keep doing the thing where it's about one day at a time and winning football games and being tough. To me, everybody that's banged up, everyone from Morgan Moses to Trent Williams to Jordan Reed, I'm shutting everybody down. They're not going to do that. A, why not? And B, what is the thinking in terms of these guys that clearly need some rest and recuperation?
Well, what Jay has said is they're going to take it on a case-by-case basis, and I think that's smart, right? So Trent Williams, he needs surgery. Morgan Moses doesn't need surgery. He just needs his ankles to stop rolling. You know, there's no surgical fix as far as I know, unless he's got something worse than what we've been told, but he just keeps spraining his ankle and your ankle's weak, and like, he can rehab and get it stronger, but he can also still play. So at some point you look at the healthy guys and are you going to shut Kirk Cousins down too? Cause if not, do you want to put him behind that line? And you're trying to evaluate younger players. There are goals in this game, these games, in terms of trying to figure out, okay, what can I trust Josh Doctson to do? What can I trust Maurice Harris to do? You know, you have so many free agents on this team. You're trying to see who is good, who is worth keeping, who is worth not. And if you have all replacement players out there, you can't really get a good judgment on any of them because your offense is not going to operate or your defense is not going to operate at any semblance of an NFL level, not to mention putting a guy like Kirk Cousins at risk for injury because he's going to get, you know, have guys coming after him nonstop. So I think for Trent and Jordan specifically, two guys who need some work and you know exactly what they are as players. And I would shut down those two. Beyond that, I'm not real sure. Now, I would also look at it from the player's perspective too. Like if I'm Zach Brown, I don't know how much more I want to keep playing through. He's gone out two of the last three games, I believe. You know, he's walking around in a walking boot. Like, if I'm him going into my free agent year, I'm not making this any worse than it already is, even though I'd probably want to get some more good tape out there. I'm just looking at the first half of my season going, y'all watch that when I was healthy. That's what I'm going to bring to you. So I think there's decisions to be made on both sides for a couple of players, whether the team wants to shut someone down, like Trent, who's going to want to keep playing in spite of his best interest. And for on the player's side, a guy like Brown, who you, if I'm him, I'm going like, thanks, that was fun. I'll see you at the negotiating table.
Craig Hoffman on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. Now, a lot's been made about the number of pending free agents for the Redskins. They've got 21 guys on expiring contracts. And I was looking up the players that are about to expire and some of the deals they can get done. I think we exaggerate a little bit how bad of a spot they're in that regard because it's not a lot of impact guys. It's a lot of like your core type players, but replaceable options that there are plenty of guys like around the league. But Zach Brown's a name you just brought up that's interesting to me. I threw Spencer Long, a couple other guys like Mason Foster into the mix. But in terms of the expiring contracts, I guess we can start with Brown. Do you expect that they're going to start trying to hammer out some negotiations? The Eagles have already re-upped with two guys they signed for 1 year, and I know players have to not want to test the market, but the Eagles have given them fair contracts and pried them away from free agency. You've seen that it works in the division. Do you expect the Redskins to try to start kicking some tires on guys like maybe Spencer Long, I know they were negotiating with before his injury, or Trent Murphy or Niles Paul or something like that?
Yeah, I would think a couple. It just makes too much sense not to. Now, of course, that's when the chorus chimes in of this front office doesn't ever do anything that makes sense. But to me, it would make a lot of sense. Brown is a guy that definitely I think they would look at. but I don't know if they're going to be able to get a deal done early with him. He's one of the most intriguing free agents in the league, because I think there's this sense amongst the fan base and even some circles of the media that he's this otherworldly player, and the evaluation, I would say, probably inside the building and inside most buildings in the NFL is probably not that. Like, he's spectacular against the run, and when he's right, he is one of the best linebackers in football, right? Like, his good is as good as anybody, but it doesn't show up that often. He gets, even in the games where he was great earlier this year, he's getting lost in pass coverage all the time, and it's an error he never fixed this year. And so, you know, this drop-off he had in the second half of the season, is it injury-related? Some, sure, absolutely. But he had the same drop-off last year in Buffalo, and that led him to this one-year, I think, $4 million deal or whatever it was. So I think he's probably going to want to test the market, but I don't know that he's going to get some massive deal out there. Like, I think the Redskins might be able to bring back Zach Brown a lot cheaper than some people think it's going to cost. So if I'm them, I'm not, like, I'm trying to get a deal done, and I would probably try to pay him, you know, a decent deal, but I'm not breaking the bank for Zach Brown. And I don't think, if the market says you have to break the bank for Zach Brown, I don't know that I'd pull the trigger on that, because I don't know, you know, if he's as reliable as some people want to make him out to be. And there's plenty of tape that would suggest that. I think there are other guys, you know, Mason Foster, Will Compton. Do you try to work out something with one of those guys to try to solidify a little bit of your linebacking core moving forward? You know, a guy like Niles, you know, if he knows I'm not going to get anything on the open market, like, I'm cool with my role here, special teams captain, you know, contributing member on offense, depending on who's healthy on any given week, maybe. But he's also locked into being the third tight end, so is he going to want to do it? I think all these guys, kind of on a case-by-case basis, have individual questions. You know, if you're Spencer Long, do you know what position they're going to want you to play next year? Are you negotiating as a center or as a guard? Because Roulier has been all right, and obviously they're short a left guard. You know, is Ty Nsekhe the left guard of the future, or is Long or Roulier one of those guys going to slide over, as well as staying as the backup center? So they've got a lot of questions of how they want to fill this roster, and I think some of those decisions might be better saved for the offseason while your coaching staff isn't still worrying about game planning for a game, even if you're not game planning for the playoffs. It's important to, you know, to let these guys get out there and play and feel prepared. So I don't know how much they're going to do. I think there's certain spots where maybe they're a little more likely. But overall, like, they've got a lot of evaluation to do, a lot of decisions to make of how they're going to allocate their resources. And then obviously looming over it all is Kirk. So they got to figure out the quarterback position too.
Well said. Craig Hoffman's on Twitter, at Craig Hoffman. You want to hit him up. On Brown, the one thing that interests me, though, is if he walks, let's say, for whatever reason, market's too large, what have you, you need to go find an impact linebacker. Because while he's not, as you said, all world, he's not Bobby Wagner or whatever you want to comp him to, he is light years past Will Compton and Mason Foster and what they have had around here in the past. And maybe that becomes another huge need. Like, that could be a first-round pick. Whereas if you keep him, you've got another impact defender. You don't have to worry about that. I'm always a believer in keeping what you can so that you don't create more needs when you already have a slew of them, because they're not going to have enough draft picks and money in free agency to improve already in all of the spots that they need to.
Sure, but he was all-world impact guy when paired with either Compton or Foster. He's not a Mike linebacker. He's a Mo linebacker. You need someone to be the signal caller, brains of the operation, and let him just have the freedom to go and run around and make plays. And then you hope continuous years in a system, maybe he learns some of the pass stuff. Because when it comes to, you know, to lining up against a tight end, or even, you know, knowing where you're supposed to zone drop to and pattern match and all these kinds of intricacies that are less easy to see than, oh, wow, he's really fast and chase down a guy. You know, he's not as far ahead of Compton and Foster as you may think. Now, when he's just able to make the freedom and go play, and that speed obviously was game changing when this defense was great earlier in the year. I'm not trying to suggest that it isn't. But there are other problems. You know, there are some of those spectacular plays he makes where he's covering for his own mistake, where he blew coverage and then was able to go chase a guy down, and everyone's oohing and aahing about how fast he is. But, like, if you wouldn't have to be that fast if you weren't chasing down the guy that you left wide open. So, like, he's in a role where, like, they can't just re-sign him, expected to pair him with Mo Spate, and think they're set at linebacker. That's not going to work. So I don't know exactly what that translates into being in terms of a plan moving forward, where they try to sign Foster, Compton, or both of them, and pair them with Zach Brown. Like, I think they like Brown a lot. I think they're going to try to keep him. But just signing him and then bringing in some rookie, if the rookie's not ready to really run your defense, that's not going to be a formula for success. That'd be my only caution with Brown.
That is Craig Hoffman. Thank you as always, buddy. Now go run some 2-3 zones in your house, you Syracuse alum. I'll see you, man.
All right, sounds good. See you.
Appreciate you. Craig Hoffman on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. The college football 14 playoff has been released. We know who made it. We know who didn't. What'd you think of Alabama getting it over Ohio State? We'll give you our thoughts next.